It's good to see each and every one of you out here this morning. We do have a number of you who have been traveling or sick, but you're back here this morning, and it's good to see you back. And we do have a number of visitors, and we want you to know that we're delighted by your presence, and we ask that you would take our Bible and follow along with us as we enter into the part of our worship service where we will be studying from the Word of God. And I have to let you know, it is the first Sunday morning of the month, and I'm sure you know that, and that means it's time, because it's 2018 now, it's a new year, it's time for a new series. Some of you said, do we have to stop sermons we don't like to hear? And I said, yes, you know, change is good. All good things have to come to an end, or maybe they don't, in a sense. But no, I'm not going to tease you like that. We will be putting an end to sermons we don't like to hear. And some of you have been joking and said, well, does that mean this year is going to be sermons we like to hear? And maybe I'm just not that positive, but that's not the series we're going to go over either. But I've been looking forward to this Sunday for quite some time now. Looking forward to this series. I've been waiting over a year to do this series. I presented three options to the elders last year, 22 years ago now, in 2016, and they chose sermons we didn't like to hear. And so then this year, the one that I really wanted to, I was, you know, kind of helped persuade them, and they said, yeah, that would be good. And so they went out on a limb and trusted me on this series that it would be relevant, and I hope that this will be beneficial to you. But I'd like to thank you for helping me select the topic. You know, you had a part to play. You participated in coming up with this series of lessons we're going to go over. And some of you, though, as I look out, you look a little confused. You say, what did I do to help pick this topic? And you don't remember? You don't remember when I first moved here, I had you fill out those surveys? And some of you are like, oh, those surveys. Yeah, going back a little bit, testing your memory here, I had you fill out those surveys. It had seven questions on it. One of the questions on that survey that I took and developed this series out of was, what part or what book or part of the Bible are you least familiar with? And there's a reason why I chose that question. It was because a large percentage of you had the same thing. 95% of all answers that I had here at Sefner, 95% came from the Old Testament. So kind of narrowing it down a little bit, that didn't come as much of a surprise, but then 85% of all of those surveys said that you are least familiar with the prophets or one of the minor prophets. And so since so many of you said that you were not familiar with it, and a lot of you wrote little comments next to it that I can't think of a time where I've actually read some of those books, I think it's time that we need to change that. And so this year, what we are going to be studying, we're not just going to do the first Sunday morning of every month. There's going to be another lesson at least every month as well. Two sermons each month are going to be going over this series of preaching through the prophets. And this is a little bit of an uphill battle for me. You know, sermons we don't like to hear. A lot of you, after one or two lessons, you looked forward to that. I mean, it was mysterious. It was unexpected. Oh, what's he going to talk about this week? I mean, you guys were, it was encouraging to me. You were looking forward to those. But the prophets, to many, some of you maybe, you see preaching their prophets, it doesn't have the same oomph. It, maybe you're sitting there and going, ooh, I've never really studied the prophets. Or maybe you're thinking, I don't know my Bible that well. I can't just open up to the prophets and understand these. Maybe you already feel overwhelmed. Well, then this first lesson in particular is for you. I want you to know that you can understand them and that they are relevant to our lives today. And that is why, for this first lesson, what I want to present to you is, why preach from the prophets? Because I don't want to waste my time going over 23 extra lessons from here if you don't see the value in studying the prophets. If I can't convince myself that these are worth studying. And so we need to start here as a foundation, as a baseline, that these are valuable, that these are worth studying and relevant to our lives today. And I think the answer is absolutely they are. I want to begin with a quote from Robert Harkrider about the minor prophets. And he said this, "History has a way of repeating itself. And when circumstances are proven to be similar, then one gleans a deep insight into God's attitude toward the world today from a study of the prophets. His law for man today is different, but he is an unchanging God, In his hatred of idolatry, injustices, and ingratitude remains constant. Many a Christian has robbed himself of great and valuable lessons by neglecting to study the prophets. And I would agree absolutely with that quote. And it's time for us to stop putting off studying this section of Scripture. It is such a valuable study, and I hope that you will be enlightened by it. Maybe you've never studied the prophets before. Well, we're going to do that together this year. And so this morning, the main question we're going to answer is why preach from the prophets? But before we get there, I have a few little other information that I want to go over. And the first real question I want to present is, why do we struggle so much with the prophets? Why do we avoid them? A lot of people, it's maybe not even, a lot of people that I talked to said, well, I've never really sat down and read them. And I think a lot of that is because there's just a stigma with them. Well, oh, it's the prophets, I can't understand it. Why is that? And I think one of the reasons is, well, because of their length. You know, when you look at the prophets, not just the minor prophets, the prophets as a whole, it's longer than the entire New Testament and Acts a second time. That's a lot of Scripture to get through. And so when people come up with reading plans and what they want to study in their Bible, it would make sense that you would want to study the New Testament first. You could get through that in a lot quicker time. And just to clarify, some misconceptions online that I saw this week, people thought that the minor and major prophets, as we call them, they're not minor because of their importance. Not at all. It's minor because of the length is simply why we do that. All of the books, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, are longer than all 12 of the minor prophets put together. That is why they are called the minor prophets. And so it's easy to avoid this section of the Bible because of their length. It's easy to get burned out in reading such a long section of Scripture. But I think also, not just the length, it's because of the content. You look at the prophets as a whole, it's prophetic messages. There's apocalyptic language. There's harsh judgments with metaphors and exaggerated language. It's not easy to just sit down and say, oh yeah, that's referring to the Assyrian captivity. Absolutely, I got that. No, it takes time to be able to decipher these messages and understand what it's talking about. But I think for many of us, why we avoid the prophets and why we struggle with them is because of the historical context. And if you're sitting there going, historical context, what exactly does that mean? That's really the background to the prophets. I think for most of us, you can sit down and we can maybe make sense of a lot of the prophets, a majority of it. But it's understanding which king is reigning during this time. Who is the audience? Is this to Israel or is this to Judah? Who's the enemy at this time? Is it the Assyrian Empire? Is it the Babylonian Empire? Is it the Medes and the Persian? What about the Greek? When did the Romans come into play? And all of a sudden we have all these different things that we have to consider, and it's just, I'll study the prison epistles. So easily that is what happens because there's a lot of things to balance. There's a lot of turnover, and when we look at the prophets, really they start about the year 850 BC till about 400 BC. That's a long time span. We look at that nearly 400 years, a little extra depending on how you date these prophets. That's a long time. And so yeah, the historical context is the reason why we struggle with this so much. And I say all this because I want you to understand that I get it. That I understand that this is not the easiest section of Scripture. One misconception I had when I was younger was that the preacher just got to sit in his office all day and he just got to read a bunch of books, and it made perfect sense to him, and he didn't understand what the average Joe in the pew went through. And I would get so frustrated. The preacher that we had in La Vista, great guy, but very intellectually smart. And sometimes I just felt like it went right over my head. And I said, I don't get all week to study Hosea. And I want you to know that I get that. That these are challenging, but they are understandable. And before we answer this question of why preach from the prophets, I want you to make sure that you know that these are understandable. That we can break down a lot of the different books. And that if we keep in mind this little three steps, the three points of the message of the prophets. A lot of them fall into these three points. And the first is repent. one of the main messages, the main thrust of the prophets, and really why the prophets are necessary. They're spokesmen from God, sent to go and proclaim and preach a message to the people. And what is that message? It's repent. Really, because you have broken the covenant. God is a holy God. He demands the first place in your heart and in your lives, and you haven't been keeping that. And so if you want to maintain that relationship with God, you need to repent. And that is mostly about what of the prophets begin a lot of their books with. Repent. And ironically, that message is found at the beginning of the Gospels as well. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But not just a message of repentance, there was a message of judgment. Because you have broken the covenant, there's a punishment. Destruction is coming. And that was all the more reason why you should repent. It would begin with the message of repentance. Hey, you need to get the sin out of your life. Why? You see the Babylonians over there? They're coming. You see the Assyrians? If you don't repent, it's going to happen. And yet, sadly for Israel and Judah, that often wasn't enough encouragement to change, to turn from the sin in their life. And yet, despite this message of repentance and judgment, a little bit harsher, something we see, it may not always be clear in the prophets, but we always see a promise of restoration. That God is not just a God that loves to just smote His people and the God of destruction and fury of the Old Testament like so many people think. Even in the prophets, we still see a hope of a glorious future, a glorious restoration, which helps us understand the coming kingdom that Jesus came to establish. And so when we look at the message of the prophets, I hope this lets you understand that I can understand this message. We can point out these features as we look through these different books. But for the remainder of our time, what I want us to look at is why preach from the prophets? Why study these books? And we'll go over five reasons, and then this first lesson will be yours. And that's because the Old Testament is for our learning. And this has to be the place that we start. Look over in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, please. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures we might have hope." And for us today, what was written beforehand, the Old Testament is what that is referring to, it's for our learning. It's for our instruction that we can learn from these lessons, and as historians often say, lest history repeat itself. Lest we fall into the same mistakes because we failed to do the research, because we failed to study the history, failed to look at the Old Testament, but especially the prophets. When we look at the prophets as a whole, all but Obadiah and Nahum are directly echoed or directly quoted in the New Testament. So obviously, God and the New Testament writers, by the inspiration of God, saw that the prophets were important enough to include in their messages. So it should be important enough for us to get in and study from them as well. And we can't learn what we don't study. We can't learn what we don't read. And so quite simply, we need to get into these books. Yeah, and maybe you've heard the saying, the Old Testament conceals, the New Testament reveals. How can you know what the New Testament is revealing if we don't know what was concealed? You know, you open up the Gospel of Matthew, and I don't think it's by accident that Gospel begins with a genealogy, showing all the different names that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And then four times in those first couple of chapters, it says that Jesus did something or something occurred which was spoken of by the prophet or by the prophets, and it will quote the passage that it is fulfilling. That doesn't happen by accident. We may be under the new covenant today, but we need to learn from what was written beforehand. And I want you to know that the point of this series is not to just make you a trivia whiz. So you can learn all these fun facts about the prophets and you'll be good to go at a Bible study party, you know, where they're doing trivia games. No, that's not the point. The point is, how is this series going to help us with our relationship with God today? And the prophets have a lot to help us in that relationship. again, lest history repeat itself. But also, why should we preach from the prophets? Why study this? Well, because Christ fulfills the prophets. I could preach a whole sermon on this, just all the different prophecies that Christ fulfills. But I think Christ says it himself best in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Turn over there. Now, you can't help but just open up the Gospels and see all the times where it says that Christ did something to fulfill Scripture. And a lot of that coming from the prophets. In Matthew 5 and verse 17, Christ says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." You know, 15 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Christ does something that was to fulfill that which was spoken of by the prophets. 15 times, just in Matthew's Gospel. And there's others when you look at the other three Gospels. The prophets matter because so much of them revolve around the life of Christ. They're pointing forward to their prophetic messages about future events that Christ would fulfill. And that right there means, yeah, we need to get into these and understand what it is pointing toward. How that relates to our Savior and the life that He lived. You think about Isaiah 53 and that chapter that describes the suffering servant. All that the Savior, the Son of God, would endure on the cross. Or about Micah 5 and verse 2, how the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. In Zechariah 9:9, where it says that Christ would be, that the Messiah would be riding into Jerusalem on a colt that had never been ridden on. Or in Malachi chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, how the Savior would be preceded by a prophet like Elijah. And that's just a few of the prophecies that Christ fulfills. And why is that significant to us today? Why is that worth studying? This should be a reason why you believe what you believe. These are reasons why you should have the faith that you have today. This helps prove the accuracy and the reliability of the Bible. That the events that took place in the life of Christ, they weren't just accidental. Christ didn't just say, "Oh yeah, go and get me a colt that's never been ridden on." He didn't just come up with that. It's because 700 years beforehand it was prophesied, and just as God said it would happen, it did. If that doesn't bolster our faith, I'm not sure what does. Christ fulfills these prophecies, and that should mean a lot to us. I think one of the strongest reasons why we're going to be preaching from the prophets is because we struggle with many of the exact same sins that the people of Israel and Judah did today. And you may be thinking, well, what sins do I struggle with that they did? They didn't have cars back then. They didn't have phones. This is a different time period. And you're right, it is. We're 2,500 years removed from the time of the prophets. It's a lot different. But there's nothing new under the sun. A lot of the same sins they struggled with, we struggle with. And just to name a few, one is idolatry. Now, we may not bow down to a piece of gold or a wooden statue, but we have idols just as bad in our lives. And we need to heed the message of the prophets and be rebuked just like the people were then. That nothing comes before God. And there are so many American idols that we can choose from today, and I'm not talking about the TV show. You think about our phones and the idol that they have become, especially in the younger generation. That is the first thing, like 90% of those under the age of 21 look at before they go to bed and when they wake up. And we're saying that we don't bow down and worship things? No, we don't have to bow down. It's right in our hands. What about TVs? What about greed? What about sex? So many idols are around us in our country today, just like the prophets. And we need to learn sooner than the people of God did during the time of the prophets that God doesn't take the back burner to anything or anyone. You know, we could look at Isaiah 44. We won't now. I'd ask you to start turning over to Jeremiah chapter 2. But study Isaiah 44 on your own sometime, where he describes the folly of sin. The folly of idolatry, how the same people, you know, how they would make idols out of wood. Half of the wood they would use to cook their dinner on, but another half they're carving an idol out of it. Same thing with the idols in our lives. It doesn't make sense why we would serve something so silly and not serve God. But in Jeremiah chapter 2, it shows us how common idolatry was with the people of Israel and how it was unbelievable that they would do such a thing. It says, For across the coast of Cyprus and sea, or send the Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Well, know a unique sin to God's people that the other nations weren't guilty of? That was switching gods. That was the sin of idolatry. And God was not pleased by this. They switched their allegiance, and for what? For that which does not profit. Compares it to them having broken cisterns. The God who pours out the blessings like that of water, and yet all they go after too is picking up broken bowls that hold nothing. That's what idolatry is. It profits nothing in your life, but not just the sin of idolatry. There were also so many social injustices that occurred during this time period. And I don't like to get political in my lessons at all. I've learned that that's a mistake if you do that a lot, or even at all. But you know what? The prophets got very political. And I'm here to present the message from the prophets. And that was something they did a lot, because there was a problem in Israel with the upper class. They looked to enlarge their own pockets and increase their own wealth, even if that meant taking from the lower class. They took from those who were poor and needy just to make themselves fatter and richer. And God was enraged at His people for this, that the outcasts and the needy of society were left to die. In Micah chapter 3, we read about this, a time of extreme wealth, and yet so many of Israel are in want and need. It says, "Hear you, O heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You know who hate the good and love the evil, or you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and their flesh from off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron." And some of you look disgusted and say, "Oh, did they actually do?" No, this again goes back to the nature of the prophets. This is exaggerated language. This did not literally happen, but in a sense, financially, it did. The leaders were taking from the people so that they had nothing left. They stripped them of all that they had. And God said, "What are you doing? Do you not know justice at all?" And God today expects His people to be benevolent and to care for others as we have the means to do so. And when we do not, and we study from the prophets, we might just feel them stepping on our toes a little bit. And so much more could be said about pride. I mean, almost every prophet deals with pride in some sense. And we'll save this for future lessons, but Obadiah 1 in verse 3. And maybe some of you are already seeing the value of studying the prophets as we're going to the books that maybe have the cobwebs next to them, or you're having to get the dust off because we don't study from them very often. But Obadiah 1:3 says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?'" Ever know people like that? Who all of a sudden become so high and mighty and think, what wrong is ever going to happen to me in my life? Remember how God responds to pride in the next verse. "Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord." A lot more we're going to be talking about pride, so I'll save that for another time. But also the vain worship. We as well, we'll save this for a latter time. But Micah 1 is a graphic description of how displeased God was with the half-hearted worship that his people brought. Where he calls the people to stop going through the motions. He wishes it would have been better if they would shut the doors of the temple than the people come in and offer those half-hearted burnt offerings to him. And doesn't that not apply to us today? I hope you see the value of that. It's a sobering reminder to us that when we come to worship, that the heart of the worshiper needs to know exactly what it is here to do and who we are here to worship. Books like Malachi remind us that even if we're here for every service, that doesn't necessarily mean our heart is. And how easily we can begin to just go through the motions of showing in and punching a time clock almost when we come to services. And books like Malachi also remind us that if we stroll in 2 minutes before worship and fail to see the importance of Bible study, maybe we're holding things back from God. Maybe we don't see the importance of what we ought to be giving Him. God doesn't want people to show up and go through the motions. He wants people that love Him and express that through devout devotion. And there's so many other topics we can preach on, but I hope you see that a lot of the same sins that happened in the times of the prophets are relevant now. And that's why we're going to be preaching from this series, preaching from the prophets. Fourth, because the societal climate of the prophet, it just parallels America so well today. And not just America, but really the world as a whole. You know, so many, have you maybe ever caught yourself saying this? That the world is just getting so much more wicked. I hear that a lot. And not to pick on those who are older, but that's normally who it comes from. Because I think as you get older, you start to see how far it's gone. You say, oh, it's just, it's getting pretty wicked out there. The world, it's not like it used to be. Back in my day, it was this, and now it's this. And you just see how we're declining, especially as a country. A study just this week said that 40% of all babies are born out of wedlock in this country. 40%. I can guarantee you 40 years ago, that number was not 40%. You think about many things, the sexual sins of our society today. We have become a people that call evil good and good evil. And that is the time period of the prophets. It matches, if I could pick one period of the entire Bible that matches America today, I would go straight to the prophets. It was a time of extreme wealth. And such is America today. We are the wealthiest country. We are living in times of ease. We have more money than oftentimes we know what to do with. And yet, the more money we get, the further away from God we get as a country. And that is just like that of the prophets. And a lot of this began in 1 Kings 11. Back when Solomon, when the kingdoms were still united, before it was Israel and Judah, and then all of a sudden, all the split began to happen. And then Solomon turned away from the Lord and he built those foreign idols for all of the foreign wives that he had. And all of a sudden, idolatry became a prominent sin. And then you add in the money. And then money and idolatry is never a good mix. And all of a sudden, the people get further and further away from God. And 200 years later, you have the minor prophets and it's a mess. And the people that don't know God, and that is our world today. It's a departure from God politically, socially, and morally. We have gone corrupt. And the voices of the prophets are like that of Abel in Hebrews 11, verse 4, though being dead, still speaks. Voices we need to not ignore today. And lastly, we'll look at this. Why preach from the prophets? Because, well, the prophets ultimately remind us of who God is. They remind us that our God is a jealous God. And if you put anything in front of your relationship with Him, He's not going to accept that. The prophets remind us the damaging effect of sin and how that separates man from God and that there is a price for sin. And you think about the punishments and the judgments that came upon these people because of the sin in their life. If that's not a wake-up call to us today, I'm not sure what is. We don't just get to live a life of sin and there not be any consequences for that. But ultimately, what they remind us of is God's love. though these are some of the harshest books written in the Bible, it's through these books that we have the most clear picture of our loving God. And the last passage we'll end with is in Hosea 14 and verse 4. Turn with me there. Hosea 14 and verse 4. Where Hosea the prophet, speaking for God, says, "I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them." As God in that book pictures His people as an unfaithful bride who has done unimaginable things and turned their back and spit on their God, God still takes His people back. And if that's not the ultimate picture of our loving God, it is just so clearly seen in the prophets. Grace, mercy, and love from our Father. And I hope after this lesson that you see the direction we're going with the prophets, that it is relevant, that this does matter, and it should be a series that we can get excited about. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, "I haven't really got into the prophets. I'm ready to start studying, but where in the world do I begin?" Well, you know me. I'll have a handout in the back after services, I'm giving you a little kind of preview of how we're going to go forward. The first Sunday morning of every month, what we're going to do is do this series, and that will be one of the minor prophets. So that way we can kind of keep a steady track of how we're going to go through this. And we will go in chronological order. And maybe you're saying, "I don't know what chronological order." There will be a handout in the back of the views that I take. Dating can get very tricky in some of these books. And so depending on which book you pick up, commentary of such, it may have different views. So we're going to go with a generally accepted one that I'll put out in the back for us. And then probably the third Sunday night of every month, we're going to cover another lesson from the prophets, mainly that of the major prophets. Like I said, I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, and I hope that you will get as much out of this as I will. If you don't have a Bible reading program in place, I would encourage you to start with the prophets. Again, it's going to be challenging in times, but maybe especially the week before the first Sunday of every month, study the minor prophet that we're going to be going over, and it's going to only deepen what you're able to take away from the lesson as you've already had that text in front of you. You know, one thing we emphasize about the prophets that matters today, like much of what we've covered, is the message of repentance. That really is at the heart of the prophetic messages, that you need to turn your heart back to God. And I don't think it's a mistake that when the New Testament begins, John the Baptist and Christ Himself are seen echoing that same message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And maybe you're here this morning and you are yet to be a child of God. You need to heed the same message of the prophets, the same message of Christ, and the message of the gospel. Repent. Turn your heart to God from sin. Turn away from the old man of sin and become a new man in Christ by being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. You have a chance to do so. Or maybe you're here and you are a child of God. You too need to hear the message of the prophets like we all do. Repent. Remove the idols, remove the sins from our life, and put God as a top priority. Maybe you're here and we can assist you in any way. Don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.